Our reading for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so we pray. Holy God, from this prayer offered in Scripture, we come before you. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with us also as we reflect on this word, that you draw out within us the truth of your love, the truth of your way, the truth of your abundance. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. What was the first prayer that you remember? Was it a simple grace at a mealtime? A prayer said in Sunday school class? One said in this very sanctuary? For me, it was the Lord's Prayer. Not coming from the mouth of the faithful, but a cross stitch in the bedroom where I stayed and visited at my grandparents' farm. For years before I could read, those words were hung over the bed in which I slept. I'm not sure what caused me to read them for the first time, but I did, and I was drawn to it. Pondered it, wondered about it, like what THY was. It wasn't a word that I had seen before. And with time, I came to a deeper knowledge of these words. And when my grandmother died, that framed cross stitch was all I really wanted. Today's reading shows up in the middle of the book of Ephesians, at the halfway point of the letter. In the first half, Paul outlines what God has done for us, what God has given us. He reminds us of the ways that God has come to us. He gives us this lovely, theologically rich statement of who God is and who we are to Christ. And after our today's reading, Paul goes on to move into our response, our actions. What should be done in light of what God has done? Paul is writing this letter while under arrest, chained to a Roman soldier, the equivalent of our present-day house arrest. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul is proclaiming faith. I bow my knee before the Father. The first five words of our reading today tells us that we are overhearing a prayer. A beautiful prayer, a powerful prayer. Paul's hope for the community. Can you picture that for a second? Paul kneeling while chained to a guard? Getting down on one knee is a defenseless position. Eyes closed, hands folded, physically vulnerable. This position demonstrates powerfully the position of prayer. Making oneself defenseless before God, entirely exposed to whatever God will bring. Do you pray that way? Paul was fully open, praying with all of his heart for you. In this reading, the you that we come across in the Greek is plural. In the Deep South, it could be translated all you all, not just a few, but the whole church. Paul's prayer that we, have inner spiritual strength, the indwelling of Christ in our hearts, the ability to comprehend all dimensions of the spiritual reality, the knowledge of the love of Christ. These are not small prayers for God's people, nor are they all that different from the prayers that I have for you, who are gathered here today and watching this recording. They are also the dreams I wish that we had for each other and for the whole church today. So many times, when I hear of people's dreams about the church, their prayers, they most often are about pews that are filled like they were back then, or hoping to connect with friends and being filled for a week. And maybe the saddest, that the church still be here when I die so that I can be buried. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with these hopes and prayers, they pale in comparison to the prayers that Paul was praying. Inner spiritual strength, the indwelling of Christ in our hearts, the ability to comprehend all the dimensions of the spiritual reality, and a knowledge of the love of Christ. Maybe our prayers are so small because we are conditioned to envision a zero-sum game. Reciprocity, scarcity, indebtedness, deservingness, and insufficiency. But with God, none of that applies. Free, abundant, overflowing, more than enough. These are a few of the words that Paul provides to describe God's love, provision, and vision. C.S. Lewis wrote that if you hold in your mind the most fabulous, beautiful, stupendous vision of heaven you can muster, the reality will be far, far greater, better, more stunning, and filling. And the same holds true for life with God right here and now. We might ask God for this help or that assistance. We might dream of a life calm and meaningful purpose, good health, happy relationships. But what God can and does want to do for us is far more than we can dream of or even think of asking. C.S. Lewis also wrote that our problem isn't that our desires are too strong, And faith is supposed to throw cold water on our desires. No. God wants us to desire far more than we desire. We play around with lesser goods, pleasures, money, diversions, things. When God's promises are more elusive, but more delightful goods, like purpose, belonging, hope, and joy. As we start, and as the world starts to return to normal, as the routines of the church start to fall back into place, we have an opportunity to challenge what has become the normal prayers and visions of our faith communities. We can join Paul on his knees praying for more. And these prayers can be realized as we engage the practices that open the door for the Holy Spirit to enter. Practices like coming together in prayer, in worship, in study, in service. Practices like listening deeply for where the Spirit is calling and knocking and pulling us. As we come out of the pandemic, I pray that we no longer hold small visions, but dream as big as we can. I pray that we let our prayers rise, knowing that they will meet a gracious and generous God. O holy God, let us dream, knowing that even more amazing dreams are possible. Let us dream dreams that Christ has for us. Let us prepare our hearts and minds, O God, be with us, and prepare our hearts and minds for your Spirit to come through us and guide us. And Holy One, let us start today. This I pray, as we gather here in this community, offering our thanksgiving to God. Help us, prepare us for your grand response to our humble prayers. Amen.